Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with senior editor Mara Levinsky.
Hey, everybody.
So, Mara, today we are talking to Young and Restless's Joshua Morrow, whose storyline has been on fire lately. Not only was he revealed to be impersonating JT, but he just slipped back into familiar territory by sleeping with Phyllis, even though he's engaged to Sharon.
Naughty.
And she is with Billy. So Nick and Sharon have been one of the show's signature couples since 1994. And while they haven't always been together, they always seem to find their way back together. So let's start with the super couple discussion. Is it a burden or no?
Well, I think from my conversations with writers of soap opera over the years, it never starts as a burden, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to have on their resume, I'm the one who put Steve and Kayla together. I'm the one who put Nikki and Victor together. I'm the one who put Frisco and Felicia together. But when you're not sending characters off into the sunset to live happily ever after together off camera, and you're trying to sustain storyline for such a popular pairing, not just over months or years, but decades, that's where it becomes a little bit of a burden. It becomes incredibly challenging. You know, how many makeups and breakups can you come up with for a long-running pairing? Because as we know, if they're just happy, the audience isn't going to like that either because it lacks drama. What's your take on it?
Well, because I became a fan of Days in the 80s, which is arguably the most super couple-rich time in the show's history, I want to see my duos together. So I guess in that respect, it becomes a burden to each new writer that comes in because they're stuck in a way with keeping those couples together if you want to keep the audience happy or people like me happy.
Right. And, you know, at the same time, I think about, you know, by the time your romance has been on air on a soap opera for 20, 30 years, you know, you might have like walked down the aisle like 6, 7, or 8 times. I mean, it's kind of crazy, like from the outside looking in.
Absolutely. But you know, that I don't have a problem with because if I feel like these duos are destiny couples, I'm fine with them breaking up or having bumps in the road as long as they wind up back together. Like, remember when Days flirted with Justin and Hope a few years ago?
Yes, I do. Big thumbs down to that.
Exactly. Like, I don't think that works. But in the case of a Jack and Jennifer, with Jack being killed off and resurrected every few years.
That's like his hobby.
That's hilarious. Yes. You know, you have to accept that Jen is going to be with different characters and try to commit to those new pairings. You know, a new pairing on Bold and Beautiful, for example, was Bill and Brooke. And I have to tell you, I like those two together. At that point, Ron Moss had left the role of Ridge. So this was her first post-Ron pairing. And I thought that Catherine Kelly Lang and Don Diamond had such a great dynamic. And then there was an interesting story on the air with Katie woven in. But when the show recast Ridge with Torsten Kay, they started playing the Ridge-Brooke Destiny duo card again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where we are now. And then in some ways you're like, oh, right, you know, Ridge and Brooke are meant to be together.
Right. Ridge forever. You know, I will say I have liked or even been like a fervent fan of the same character in more than one pairing. It doesn't happen that often, but it has happened for me. I mean, I remember I never thought after Sunny and Brenda, who I loved so much on General Hospital, went their separate ways that I would ever like Sunny with anyone else ever again.
Hi, me neither.
But, you know, I remember so clearly and specifically being in our old office, television on my desk. Sunny and Carly had that shocking first one-night stand back when Sarah Brown was in the role. And there was so much chemistry and also an interesting story surrounding that, you know, that original coming together that all of a sudden I was on board.
Yeah, I mean, I'll accept Sunny in a new pairing, but nothing will ever be better than Sunny and Brenda.
Hey, I didn't say they were better than Sunny and Brenda. And I am sorry to the Carson fans. If Vanessa Marcel ever came back, I would put my Sunny and Brenda fan hat right back on.
Well, me too. But you know, what's funny about GH in a way is how successfully they've managed to pair the characters of Luke and Laura with other people, considering to anyone outside of the soap universe, they are really like the ultimate super couple. But as someone who started watching GH because of them, you know, I actually really liked him with Tracy, and I liked the Laura-Kevin dynamic.
You know, I think in addition to chemistry between actors, sometimes shifting actors out of established pairings and into new potential relationships, it has to be done with great care to be successful. And I'm, you know, we're talking to Joshua Morrow today. You know, when Nick and Phyllis, when that story began, which was so linked to the poignant emotional distance between Nick and Sharon that emerged in the wake of the death of their daughter, Cassie. Like, if you had told me a year before that that I would be all about a fic pairing, I would not have believed it. But I thought that Joshua and Michelle Stafford were awesome together. I thought that story was awesome. And obviously, they are still milking dramatic mileage out of it today.
You know, absolutely. And I would say that when Nick and Sharon started making their way back together, I got a little excited. But, you know, this also brings up the question that we talked to Dominic Zampronia about in terms of Lulu and Dante. And were they too happy? Does a happy couple equal a boring couple? I mean, I don't know. You would think that there have to be people out there who are in, maybe they're in happy relationships and they want to see that mirrored in screen, or maybe on screen, or maybe they're in unhappy relationships and they want to see a happy relationship as sort of something to just hold on to or aspire to, right, or just to make them feel good about romance. So it's a very interesting thing, I think, only really in daytime because it's so ongoing and you really do have to find, you know, ways in and out of these romances or relationships and find highs and lows that they really aren't allowed to be happy for too long.
Yeah, I think that shows sometimes try to be so fireworks driven in terms of the big shocking things that happen or the big shakeups that what's lost is how enjoyable it can really be to watch the in-between times with couples, to play those moments out. And to Dominic's point, you know, he and I had actually spoken about how when Dante was like cheating on Lulu or cheated on Lulu with Valerie, it wasn't done with the greatest finesse, I think it is fair to say. Mm-hmm. I think that even a cheating storyline or an emotional cheating story could have been very interesting to tell with Dante and Lulu, but I think the one that was told felt very out of the blue and out of character, and that's where you're going to lose the willingness of the audience to maybe go along for a bump in the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, to your point about the Nick and Phyllis story, that was an infidelity story, and yet it played really well. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, here we are again, sort of telling that same story or a similar story with these two. And yet we have the other side of this. You know, what does this mean for Sharon and Nick?
Yeah. And I have to agree with you. When Sharon and Nick started to wend their way back together, you know, you kind of feel like this is how it's meant to be. So I will be very interested to see what Joshua has to say.
Well, let's get him on the phone and see what he thinks. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you? You're here with Stephanie Sloan and Mara Levinsky.
Hello.
Yes, ladies. Everything is going well. How's your day?
Going pretty well.
Absolutely.
My goodness, Nick has been up to a lot lately.
Yeah. The writers bestowed a pretty healthy amount of story on me right now, so I'm very happy. It's been probably the story that I've been most excited to tell since in like forever. So I'm very, very, very happy to come to work right now.
Well, let's start with that JT reveal. When did you find out and what was your reaction?
Mal had told me, I don't know. I'm going to say 6 months earlier that's what they were going to be doing. And at first I was like, what are you talking about? He told me it was coming, and I was really looking forward to telling a story of that would affect so many people. And when he told me, he sat me down. He told me, you know, what the big giant plan was, and I couldn't believe it at first. And I just wasn't sure how it was going to play out. Like, I was like, how am I supposed to pretend to be JT? Like, it didn't make much sense to me. And what they were telling me initially, I was just like, I don't know how we can afford to do that. I don't know how we can, you know, sell it, make it happen, you know, without it seeming, you know, ridiculous. But the way it unfolded, I thought, was just incredibly clever. And my hat's off to the writers on that one, because the crew worked very hard with the reveal. You know, they had the mask made and with CGI and stuff. And it was just an incredibly exciting way to kind of tell the story that we'd been leading up to. So I was, you know, like I said, really, really happy to do it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about off camera, like what went into pulling that off? Because it's obviously not, you know, your everyday thing that you do on the show.
Yeah. First thing I had to do was I had to go and get fitted for a mask that they had ordered. You know, they'd went through a couple of different options, and, you know, they had to get it signed off on by the producers and Mal and everyone on the network. And then once that happened, at that point, I didn't know that they were going to be bringing Thad back to pretend to be himself, if you will. That sounds weird to say, but you know, at that point, I still thought, I was like, oh my God, they're going to put like this weird mask on me, and I'm going to be running around pretending to be JT. But I actually didn't do any of that, because Thad did it all. So it worked out, you know, pretty good. And then after that, it was just a matter of meeting with the CGI people and going through all the elements that were involved as far as, you know, your movements. I mean, everything mattered down to like the inch. Like, you needed to be this exact same height. And that's at least an inch taller than me. And so, you know, I put in some like lifts, and then still that wasn't enough. So that had to like crouch down and, you know, get to the, you know, my height, and I had to turn my head at the exact angle that he did. And I mean, it was a very technical process. I've never done anything like it, but the guys in charge of it clearly knew what they were doing. And when Mal showed me the finished product shortly after, I honestly could not believe the way it turns out. I mean, it's unbelievable. It looks exactly like Mission Impossible. And that we did it in daytime is just, it makes me very proud of, you know, the work we did and the talent that those people possess, because it will blow your mind the way it looks.
Well, I want to know, since you thought that you were going to be actually impersonating Thad, had you been like honing a Thad Luckabill impression that you then never had the opportunity to take advantage of?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, Thad and I grew up about an hour away from each other in Oklahoma, which not many people know. And we, you know, he's one of my closest friends on this show, and we've done a lot of things together, and he's been to my wedding and my bachelor parties. And I mean, it was
multiple, you know, bachelor parties.
Oh, sorry, just one. It's just the one. Yeah. It felt like a couple. We're not allowed to talk about that though.
Yeah. Long time ago.
But, and, you know, our deep love for the Sooners that we have, you know, works well. So I didn't have to feel like I was, impersonating him too much, because initially, like I said, I thought I was going to be running around pretending to be him in a mask, but he did all of it. And the show did a great job of hiding it. Nobody even knew he was, you know, here, and he was, you know, doing all this thing, and it was pretty awesome.
Now, obviously, Victor's played a large role in this story, and your scenes with Eric Braeden throughout this entire arc have been truly phenomenal. Tell us about your working relationship with him over the years and in this storyline specifically.
Well, Eric and I are extremely close. I mean, he is like another dad to me, and we have a very deep respect for each other. And it's hard because, you know, like, my relationship with my dad is always extremely special to me. And, you know, he still lives in Oklahoma. And, you know, some of the things in the way I treat Eric really bother me. Like, it's hard for me to justify a lot of what, you know, the way I treat him. Now, granted, you know, Victor doesn't make it easy, because he's a bit of a tyrant and a bully, and, you know, kind of treats everyone like they're all in his own little, you know, personal game. But it still just really bothers me. I have such a deep respect for Eric and for older people in general. And, you know, Eric and I always laugh. We don't want to hate each other, but that's kind of the way it is. I mean, you know, Nick is a very kind of almost overly righteous, driven dude, who is just unwilling to listen to what his dad has to say or to be molded in any way other than what he wants. And, you know, Victor doesn't seem to want to allow Nick to be his own man and to kind of do his own thing. And, you know, they just never seem to agree. So, personally, it's hard for us because we, you know, we would like it if we could get along more, but it works. I can't deny that it works. I mean, the fans seem to like it, and conflict always plays, and the scenes lately have just been awesome. I mean, I love the way they're written, and it's really given me more to play than I've had, frankly, in years. So any scenes I have with Eric are ones that I really cannot wait to tell, because he is an absolute legend. I mean, we throw that word around a lot, but my respect for him knows no bounds. He's a true actor and cares so much about this job and his character and everything else. So the fact that I get to share a stage with him is a great accomplishment to me, because they really trust me with working opposite him, which I, you know, really relish.
And it looks like with this story, Nick is embracing his Victor side a little. What do you think about that?
It's awesome. You know, I've been waiting for this for years. I mean, it got kind of into a stretch where, you know, they were like, oh, well, he can't, that's just not who he is. And, you know, that's all Nick ever says. But I've always thought one of the coolest elements to their relationship was that Nick was so much more like him than he ever wanted to admit. And that was the constant pull and struggle that he had with Victor. But, you know, the show really got away from that for almost a 15-year period, you know. And then when Adam got here, that was kind of the avenue for, you know, telling this kind of next generation of character. But I could never be anything close to, I think, what Victor was. I just don't think the characters are grounded in that way. But they're starting to show certain elements towards that, I think, are very exciting. And as an actor, man, I'm just relishing it. I've been waiting so long for an opportunity to do something like this. You know, Nick is, he's a great dude, and I, you know, if he was real, we'd be really good buds. but I like it that the writers now have the confidence, I guess, in me of being able to pull off a story of this magnitude. And I guess that's kind of what it boils down to. It's got such potential. I mean, the pull essentially of the dark side, without sounding too much like Star Wars, is a cool element to show in film or TV or in cinema. So I cannot wait. I'm so happy. It's the happiest I've been on the show in a long time. And it's been, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I cannot wait for the audience to see it either. I really like what the show's done and that they've given me this chance.
Now, have you and Eric talked about this new phase of conflict between your characters?
Not in the sense that it's like a new element to their relationship. I think it's now crossed a much bigger line. It used to just be about, Nick always just wanting to be himself. Well, now there's something else involved here. This, you know, Victor tried to take his son, and Nick is trying to ruin his life. Things are getting much more serious. If I thought their relationship could be repaired before, I mean, good grief, what's it mean now? Things are looking pretty bad for them right now. So, you know, again, I think Eric and I just kind of, you know, we kind of, after every take where we literally, Nick looks like he wants to kill him and Victor looks like he wants to strangle him. And then I always just pull my arms up and like a mock hug and say, I love you, Dad. It's like our own inside joke to each other. And he always just shakes his head. And, you know, we wish we could be closer, but we get what the show is doing. And I can't deny that it's working.
Could you ever see a point of no return for Nick and Victor?
Well, I would have thought it certainly would have been when Victor tried to take his son, but Nick, you know, got him back. So I think that, assuming that Nick's, you know, grand goal of destroying Victor Newman doesn't completely come to fruition, then I do think there's a way for them to salvage something. You know, father-son relationships can be tricky. I mean, I deal with that with my own son. you know, he's going to be 16 soon, and he thinks he knows everything, and he thinks he doesn't need you at a certain point. And all you see is, you know, this young person who you're still trying to mold and, you know, make into what you perceive, I guess, as to what he should be or where he should be. But, you know, it's funny because I'm dealing with this right now in my real life that, you know, I want him to be a certain thing. And, you know, maybe that's not what he is, or maybe that's not what he's cut out to be. And, you know, his mother's always telling me, you know, lighten up on him and stuff. And I'm like, it's hard. It's really difficult. And I never really experienced that because all I ever had was little kids. Well, now I've got a kid burgeoning on being a young man. So it's a very interesting relationship, the father son, as they get old and want to be their own man and think they know more. So we'll see what the future holds for Nick and Victor. But my hope for Joshua and Cooper is it turns out.
I'm sure it will.
Well, my goodness, after 22 years as, you know, on screen as Victor Newman's son, you've certainly seen some examples of what not to do, right? 24 years? Am I doing the math wrong?
Yeah, it's over 24 years now.
Amazing.
Sorry, what was the, what did you say? Yeah.
I was just saying you've seen a lot of examples.
I was just going over your math in my head. I totally checked out on the actual point.
No, yeah, I was just saying you've had plenty of years of storyline of like bad parenting examples, being the son of Victor Newman on The Young and the Restless.
For sure.
Now, I want to talk about Nick's love life and all that is going on there. So Nick and Sharon got back together, much to the delight of many fans. It was awfully quickly after things with Chelsea went south. I couldn't help but notice. Did you see the characters getting back together as an inevitability?
Yeah. Listen, we all know that, you know, Nick and Sharon will always find a way to work their ways back towards each other. I mean, it's a story they've told before with Victor and Nikki. It never doesn't work. I mean, it's always like, oh, and it's a, you know, a cute story and the fans love it. And, you know, obviously working with Sharon is always an unbelievable, experience because she's like one of the best actresses I've ever seen in my life. And to relive that history and, you know, to touch onto those, you know, those moments that Nick and Sharon have had in the past is always special. So, I thought it was extremely quick after Chelsea and Nick kind of broke up, if you will. I mean, she left, so it's not a breakup.
Look at you trying to make it seem mutual.
Yeah, right. I knew it was coming. You know, the pacing of it is not up to me. So, I always look forward to doing it. You know, I mean, it's a great opportunity to get to work again with Sharon Case. And like I said, the fans love it. So, this time around, and I don't know how many different times this is, it's a little different because, you know, it's not necessarily, grounded in the, you know, the kind of the build up to this, the relationship that kind of fell into each other's arms after, you know, Sharon lost Dylan and Nick lost Chelsea. So, you can bet that it probably won't last forever, but it'll be beautiful while it does. You know, that's what the soap does. So, who knows? I don't know where it's going. You know, frankly, in this one, I didn't really ask to know, but we'll see. We're going to do our damnedest to tell a great and beautiful story, and all the Schick fans hopefully will, you know, love it and be satisfied.
Sure they will. Well, let's talk about the Fick fans for a moment, because Nick and Phyllis, hello. You know, did you see that twist coming?
I did not. I feel like I can predict a lot of things. I did not see that at all.
Well, once they were playing video games, you know.
Yeah,
know where that's
you get
leading.
Out those controllers, man, and it's like putting on some Sade and some red wine. I mean, you know things are about to get down. No, it's, you know, I think Nick and Phyllis always have this really incredible relationship where, you know, Phyllis saved Nick's life. I mean, he was going down a really dark path and she brought him back to, you know, to life essentially. And there's always some untold story and history between them. I mean, they're like electricity when they're around each other. You know, it obviously started with Michelle Stafford and is now played beautifully by Gina. So when they told me, I was like, wait, what? I mean, I'm just getting married to Sharon and whatever. But I think it all kind of goes hand in hand with what's going on with Nick. I mean, he's on a mission, and I don't think he's, you know, really even thinking super clearly about anything at this point other than, you know, crushing his dad. So he gets into a bit of a fight with Sharon and assumes that Sharon's moving on because she leaves the ring, and journeys over to Phyllis's house to play some video games, and they have a couple drinks, and one thing Phyllis and Nick always love to do is take their clothes off and play with each other. So they decide to do it.
All right, so this is very, like, in the Friends-esque scheme of it all. They were on a break. Is that how Nick's justifying this to himself after seeing the ring left behind?
Without, I think, ever actually uttering that phrase, that is what I'm going to, is they were on a break. Nick assumed that it was over. Phyllis and Billy were in a fight as well, considering what these two characters have done for each other and to each other in the past. It sure made a lot of sense, and you know, there's always a very flirty vibe between them that's kind of simmering, and you know, they got caught up and, you know, decided to, you know, have some sex in the kitchen. Who doesn't want to do that once in a while?
I mean,
everyone.
Search us,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to have sex in the kitchen right now.
If you need to go, we understand.
Well, my wife's not at home, so I'm going to have to wait.
Wait for Toby. So, you know, Nick really manages to come out of all of these situations looking like a good guy. What do you think it is about this character that makes him so rootable for the audience?
You know, I've always wondered that because It is an interesting thing because I truly don't know. Nick has done some really terrible things and seems to quite often come out of it looking like roses. And I don't know if that's, you know, the fans' deep-rooted passion for this. You know, he's kind of this heroic, kind of big-hearted guy. And I don't know. The fans seem to forgive him really quickly. I do think some of it is due to my good-natured delivery a lot of times.
For sure. Mm-hmm. That's what I would have said.
But, you know, but I truly don't know. It is, I get a lot of grief from other castmates because I can do some pretty rough stuff, and I don't seem to get held accountable for a lot of things. But I don't know. It could be. I don't know. Maybe they're just waiting for me to take my shirt off. I don't know.
I have one friend who definitely is. So.
Well, they keep doing that, and I keep going, guys, I'm 44. I'm not 24 anymore.
Well, that's what you get for being in such good shape.
Exactly. Well, it's your own fault.
I don't feel like it anymore, but whatever.
Yeah, well, the second they ask you to stop taking your shirt off, I think you're probably going to cry.
That may be. That's when, you know, then things have really changed. You might be right on that. Like, you know, I guess that might be a pretty good sign.
So you said, Joshua, that the Nick and Phyllis twist did shock you and you hadn't, like, asked about what was coming up. Are you the kind of actor who tends to kind of want to know where a story is going and you do ask, or are you just like, oh, I'll get my script and find out?
No, I never have asked before. Mal is, he's a unique producer. He wants you to know it beforehand. So he's very forthcoming about any of it. I mean, you don't even really have to go ask him. He likes to be, you know, kind of think of this as kind of a collaborative, you know, thing between us. But I've never gone to ask, and I never will, frankly. You know, we all, as actors, we all very protective over our characters and want them to do things that make sense to us and things that are interesting to play and things of that nature. But, you know, I feel like if I know stuff, it might color the performance in some way that, you know, I don't want to lead anyone on. So I don't know. I who knows? I mean, everybody's got their own thing, but for me, it's not something I search out for. But again, Mal's he loves talking to us and, you know, talks to us and tells us what's going on. And it's a very unique experience. Let's just call it that.
And I think I have friends on other shows who might be a little jealous of that attitude.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I don't know how many executive producers and writers I've had, but none of them have like searched you out to tell you what's happening. You know, I think it's always been kind of an unspoken rule, I guess, but, you know, it's just kind of, everybody's got different ways they work. And, I think most of it, you know, Mal's like a kid in a candy store. He just loves, you know, talking about the story and where we're going. And he's, you know, he's got a lot of good ideas, and he's excited about the show, and you know that you can feel it. It's palpable to him. He really is excited about what he's doing.
It definitely shows. Now, I love your scenes with Faith and with Christian, and you've been working with children for so many years on the show. Is that something you've enjoyed?
I love it. I mean, with all due respect to my my grown-up peers, my favorite people on the show are my children. I mean, I literally love them like they're my own kids. I mean, there's not anything I wouldn't do for Cammy or Hunter or Allie or Robbie or any of the other ones. I mean, I love kids, and I think it shows, and it's not something that I have to force. I love children, and you know, I wanted to be a teacher growing up just because I love being around kids, and I wanted to coach, and you know, I love teasing them and you know, watching them grow, and you're so proud of them. I mean, that's kind of I'm just always so proud of them. I mean, they're thrust into this environment that's very serious and stressful, because we have to move so fast now. And I get to watch these kids get handed these really, really involved scenes. I mean, really mature scenes, and they handle them with like professional grace that you're amazed that adults could have. And they're just kids, you know, they're just kids. So anyway, I mean, that was a long winded story, but I love the kids who play my children on the show, and I love them like they're my children.
Well, speaking of your own children and your own home front, you have three sons and a little girl. And I'm curious, now that you've had a couple years of experience under your belt, how is raising a daughter different for you than raising her brothers?
Sons are little cavemen. Like, they're, and I say this without trying to sound, I guess, sexist, but they're, if you just put a hat on their heads backwards and feed them, like, and play ball with them, they're so happy. Like, they're like golden retrievers. They're always just like, oh, you know, I got food and I got something to entertain me, and you know, what are we doing now? It's everything's fun. Whereas my daughter is, it's like handling 50 kids all in one. Like, she involves so much more of a mental game parenting wise. The swings are, you know, aggressive. I mean, she can go from the happiest kid in the world to the poutiest one you've ever seen. And it's all a delicate balance. And, you know, because, you know, if one of your sons isn't happy, they're just kind of like, you know, creep away and go to ride their bike. But if my daughter's not happy, the whole house feels it. So she's just, her personality is like through the roof, both positively and negatively. Like, she's just, just requires so much more parenting, it seems, but in obviously a good way. I mean, it's just, she keeps you on your toes. She's frankly like whip smart. I mean, you know, so much more, advanced than my sons ever were, as far as like their development and their vocabulary. I mean, everything. She's just, everything came at a faster pace for her. But she's, like I said, I mean, she's the most amazing thing in the world to me. Like, it's such a hard balance between, like, I want to do everything for her and help her, and it's like dang near impossible for me to say no to her. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, I come home from work, and the first thing it does is she sprints into my arms, and she's like vibrating. She's so happy to see. I'm getting tears in my eyes thinking about it.
We're getting tears.
Like, she's vibrating, like shaking. She's so happy to see me, and I've been gone for like 3.5 hours, you know, and it's every day. My boys, you walk in, they're like, what's up? You know, hey, I'm hungry. You know, but it's like every day, it's like the most amazing thing that you came home, you know, and it's just, I don't know. She drives me absolutely crazy, both positively and negatively. I mean, it's just, I'm crazy about her. I never thought I'd be this crazy about someone, but she's everything to me.
Oh, as everybody swoons exactly. listening to this.
Exactly.
she's something else, let me tell you. I mean, she's very smart. She manipulates her big brother.
You're all in trouble.
Oh, my God, we're so in trouble. I mean, I don't want to be the boy that wants to date this girl. I mean, she's got three boys that are baseball players and are very adept at swinging bats. You know, it's like, I don't know. I do not envy the dude that shows up to my porch asking to take out little Cha-Cha. I mean, that is not going to be a good experience for him.
Now, we were talking earlier, Steph and myself, about how we haven't seen you at the Emmys for quite a while. It seems like maybe we have this wrong, but it doesn't seem like you seem to like really care about getting those accolades or getting nominations or kudos, even though I think they are richly deserved, I would say, as a side note.
Ditto.
But is that a correct impression that we have?
Well, thank you for saying that. It's just not really my thing. I've kind of taken my name out of the conversation for, you know, the last 15 years, and everyone kind of has their own thing in life, you know, but it's not important to me. It's by no means I'm going to stand on my soapbox and, you know, proclaim to the world that it doesn't matter to me. And, I would rather, frankly, just stay home
and be manipulated by your daughter.
Yes. Normally we're, you know, I don't know. It's just not important to me. And, but like I said, all my incredible castmates who have won them and are so richly deserving of those honors, I'm very proud of them and for them. But it's just for me, it doesn't matter to me.
Now, let's go back to 1994, Josh. Could he ever have seen himself still on the show in 2018?
No way. I remember when I got the job, I just couldn't believe that they wanted this dude who grew up in a lake in Oklahoma to do this. But if you would have told me I've been doing it 24 years later, I just never would have guessed it. I kind of was always wandering around here going, when are they going to figure it out that I've been fooling them for so long? But it's been an incredible ride, I'm very excited about, you know, the prospects, and I hope the show, you know, goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, it's been, I don't know how long I'll do it, but I know that we work very hard, to tell stories that people are still interested in, and I'm very proud of what we do. Very, very proud of this show.
Well, it is a really great time to be a Joshua Morrow fan, which we both are. So we really appreciate getting to chat with you about all of this exciting developments in Casa Nick Newman.
Well, thank you. It's I want to thank you guys. You know, it's people like you who, you know, keep interest generating for us, and you know, you're always such fans, and you're always so professional, and it means a lot to us that you guys care about us as people as well. So, it's all a giant team. The way I see it is we're all on one big team of keeping this medium alive and well and interesting and relevant. And, it's all part of it.
Well, thank you. We feel the same way. Now go home to your daughter.
Yeah. Well, I actually got to pick her up at beach camp, which will be a really interesting experience because, you know, she's always so happy when she goes. And then at the end of the day, she's very tired. And the first thing she'll tell you is, you know, all the wrongs that people did to her with maybe she didn't get the right chicken nuggets or any of
that stuff. This is a girl after my own heart.
And then I got to talk her off the ledge and then promise her ice cream later and then, you know, give her a bunch of snuggles and then she's good to go.
That sounds delightful.
Oh, goodness.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Josh. Hope to talk to you soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Let's do it again someday.
Definitely. Have a good
okay.
one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Joshua for joining us. Be sure to pick up a new issue of Soap Opera Digest on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.